Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Mem. We are holding on daf Kuf Lamed Tesam Beis. We're just a couple of blot away from finishing the Seches Chulin. We are on Kuf Lamed Tesam Beis at the two dots Ve'eza Hu She'enu Mezuman. So the Mishnah had discussed the idea that a person is Chayiv in Shiluach HaKein when it comes to a bird that is not Mezuman, but not when it comes to a nest that is Mezuman. So the Mishnah asks, what is considered Einu Mezuman? So give examples. Avazim b'tarnagolim shekanu b'pardes, avlim kanunu b'bayis v'chein yonei hardas yo'os pater mishiluach. The Mishnah said that birds that made a nest in a house is considered Mezuman and is not chayiv in shiluach hakein. And similarly, yonei hardas yaos are not chayiv in shiluach hakein because they also are generally domesticated birds. They grow up around people, and therefore it's not considered to be a no mezuman. It is considered to be mezuman, therefore pater from shiluach hakein. So the Gemara just has a language issue. What exactly are these birds called? These yonei hardas yaos. So Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shimon, Chatani hadras yaos. They invert the resh and the dalet. It's the machlokas how to put the resh and the dalet in the word. So mandatani hardas yaos al shem hordus. The one that says hardas yaos is because it's because of hordus. That hordus so is called hardas yaos. Umandatani hadras yaos al shem mekoman. The one that says hadras yaos with the dalet first, it's not after hordus obviously because the dalet is before the resh. It's based on where they come from. So that's the name of the place of that they come from. Am Rav Kahana, the Didi Chazion. Rav Kahana says, "Oh, I've seen these birds. The Kaiman Shitzar Dore Bipasi Mila, and they go 16 rows deep at a width of a full meal. Meaning they travel together in packs of 16 rows deep, and they take up the width of a whole meal. Vavakara." Kiri Kiri, and they would call out, they would scream out, Kiri Kiri, meaning they knew how to speak, so they would say Kiri Kiri. They were trained to say Kiri is like my master, so they would call whoever whoever was around as the master. So they would say Kiri Kiri. So says the Gemara, Havachad minayu delava kari Kiri Kiri, and I saw that one of them wasn't saying Kiri Kiri. So Amr lachavirta, so the another one of the birds said to the bird that wasn't speaking, Suma, Amri Kiri Kiri, you blind one, you're supposed to say Kiri Kiri, don't you know that that's what we're supposed to do? So Amra Suma, Amri Kiri Biri. So he responded, the bird that refused to say Kiri Kiri responded, no, I'm going to say Kiri Biri. What is Kiri Biri? Says Rashi, La'oso she'eskore adon eved, hu eved, la'osi she'at kore adon, Eved hu, al shayahu eved. He says, the guy that you're calling the master is really an eved. So don't call him Kiri Kiri, call him Kiri Biri, the master who's really the eved. That's what you should call him, because again, if this is Hordus's birds, so Hordus was really an eved from the Beis Chashmonai. So they're saying that that you refer to him as a master, but he's really just an eved. So as Yoav v'shachtua, so they brought, the avadim of Hordus brought this bird and they shachted it, because the bird refused to refer to Hordus as a master. What's the story with Hordus? So the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Basra tells us a story that Hordus was from the Beis an Eved from the Beis Chashmonai, and one day he heard a baskal that said that any Eved who rebels today is going to be successful. So he gave it a shot, and he was successful. He killed out his entire master's house, except he left one girl that he didn't kill out, the Gemara tells us, and the one girl he preserved her, he wanted to marry her, he was in love with her. She absolutely did not want to marry him, so she committed suicide. She went to the roof and she screamed out, anyone from here on who says they come from the Beis Chashmonai, you should know, is nothing but an Eved. They're only Avadim. And she jumped, Me'igra La'ara, she jumped from the roof down to the ground, and she killed herself. And then he had her body preserved, so some say just for Kavod's sake, others say that he actually became physically intimate with this dead, preserved body, whatever it was, but he killed out all the Rabbanon. He was very suspicious of the Rabbanon, and Gemara goes through a whole mice over there. So he was always very, sensitive about the fact that he's really an Eved. So that was always a big deal, that he's really an Eved, even though he's posing as a king. So when this bird refused to say Kiri Kiri, so Zavadimra had to get rid of this bird. Amravashi, Amrli Rabbi Chanina Milin. So Rashi says, Rabbi Chanina said, this story is, as Rashi says, Divrei Ruachain. It's a bunch of hot air. Birds don't talk. There was never a conversation that went back and forth between the birds. It's a bunch of garbage. So says Gemara, Milin Salkadaitach? What do you mean? Rav Kahana said, L'didi Chazili. He said he saw it. How are you going to say that Rav Kahana was lying? So what do you mean it's Milin? So Ela Ema Bimilin. No, what he meant to say is that they use words of Kishuv to get these birds to talk. But birds naturally don't talk. It must have been Kishuv that they got these birds to talk. Okay, that's the story with these Yone Hardasyaos, the Hordas birds. The Mishnah then went on to say that if you have a non-kosher bird, it's pater from shiluach hakein. So minani mili. How do I know that that's true? That a non-kosher bird is pater from shiluach. So Amr Yitzchak Tamakra ki kare kan tzipor lefanecha. The pasuk says when you encounter a kan tzipor in front of you. So of mashmalan bein tar bein tame. If it would have said of. So oaf means both kosher and non-kosher. Tzipor, tahar ashkechan de'ikri tzipor, tamei lo ashkechan de'ikri tzipor. But the word tzipor only means a kosher bird. We only find kosher birds that are referred to as tzipor. We never find a non-kosher bird called a tzipor. So the Gemara is now going to bring 8 rayas that that's not true. That we do find that the word tzipor refers even to a non-kosher bird. The Gemara is going to reject each raya. I'm sorry, it's going to bring 8 rayas that it's not true, and the Gemara is going to reject each raya. So raya number 1, Tashma, we have a pasuk that says, and many of the rayas are exactly the same, they're very, very similar to each other, just different pasukim, but really the same raya. We have one pasuk that says, you have a pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Tavnis kol behema asher ba'aretz, Tavnis kol tzipor konof, Asher Tov Bashamayim is the pasuk. So called Tzipor Kanaf, my love. What's it adding when it adds the word Kanaf? So isn't it telling me Tzipor Bein Tahar Bein Tamei? That Tzipor is a reference to all birds. Whether it's Tamei birds, Tahar birds, doesn't make a difference. And Kanaf is Chagavim. That's referring to grasshoppers that also have wings. So don't you see the word Tzipor includes even non-kosher birds? So it says Gemara, lo, Tzipor Tahar, Kanaf, Tamei v'chagavim. Instead of saying that tzipor refers to a tamei and a tahar bird, and kanaf refers only to chagavim, say that the tzipor refers only to a tahar bird, to a kosher bird, and kanaf refers to other winged creatures, such as non-kosher birds and chagavim. That's all included in the word kanaf. But the word tzipor itself still only means a kosher bird. So that raya is rejected. Tashma, raya number 2. This is from a pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk says, Hachaya v'chol behema remes v'tzipor kanaf. So my love again, tzipor bein tahar bein tamei, that the word tzipor is a reference to both kosher and non-kosher birds, v'kanaf chagavim, and kanaf is a reference to grasshoppers. So lo, tzipor tahar kanaf tamei v'chagavim. No, the way to read it is tzipor is a reference to kosher birds, kanaf is a reference to non-kosher birds and chagavim. Raya number 3, Tashema, pasuk says, in Bereshis, some of the Achronim are bothered. Why do we go to the pasuk in Parshas Noach third? I mean, we started the pasuk in Devarim, then Tehillim, then back to Parshas Noach. You would have imagined that we would pick the pasuk in Parshas Noach first, but it's Akasha. So says the Gemara, there must be some weakness in this raya that the Gemara had already perceived that it didn't want to ask from this pasuk first. But anyway, pasuk says that kol tzipor kol kanaf. It says kol ha'of l'mineu kol tzipor kol kanaf. So my love k'demakshinan, isn't it like we've been asking that tzipor means kosher, kanaf means non-kosher and grasshoppers? Lo k'demashaninan. I'm sorry, tzipor means kosher and non-kosher, kanaf means grasshoppers. So lo k'demashaninan. No, the way we've been answering, tzipor means only kosher, kanaf means non-kosher and grasshoppers. So now the big question over here is, why didn't the Gemara just reject all of these rayas by saying that when the Torah says tzipor kanaf, that's referring to non-kosher birds, but tzipor alone is only referring to kosher birds. Very similar to what we had yesterday. We said that, how do I know that if you find a kan bashamayim, that it's pater mishiluach, you find a bird flying, holding its nest, that you're pater from shiluach. So the Gemara said, because it's not called a derech, that it's called derech nesher, the shamayim is called derech nesher, but it's not called derech. The pasuk calls it derech, no, the pasuk calls it derech nesher. Whenever there's a second descriptive word, that's not the same as having it alone. That's what we said yesterday. yesterday, the Rugachev's famous psak that you're not chayiv in tefillas haderech when you fly in an airplane, because it's not called the derech, it's only called the derech nesher, and why that psak is probably not widely accepted. But anyway, the point is the Achronim ask the Birei Adaf of Yerkos and Menachron called the Pirchei Kuhuna. He wonders, why don't we just say that Tzipori Shemai ikru Tzipori Stam alo ikru, when we refer to the Tziporim called Tzipor Kanaf, why don't we say that they're referred to as Tzipor Kanaf ikru Tzipor Stam alo ikru, that they're called Tzipor Kanaf, they're not called plain Tzipor. So he says that Kanaf has to be not just a descriptive term of the word Tzipor, it must be adding something new, because otherwise we would never know to include Chagavim in any of these Psukim, and yet we know that we're supposed to include Chagavim. I mean, if Kanaf was only descriptive of a Tzipor, then there's no word in the Pasuk that's telling me Chagavim. So Kanaf must not just be a descriptive term of the word Tzipor, it must be its own term, must be referring to something else. And that's why all of these Rayas are in fact Rayas. The Rishonim also ask, from that there are plenty of other psukim that the Gemara doesn't quote over here. If you look at Tosos and Tashema, even though we're not done with the psukim that the Gemara does quote, but we're about to go to the next Amud already, so Tosos asks that there are lots of psukim that the Gemara could have quoted. The Gemara asks 8 kashas, so Tosos says should have asked 10, 12. There are plenty of other psukim. Pasuk says where do we have? You have a pasuk that says. Where is it? Eich tomru lenafshi node harchem tzipor. So again, also over there, it seems like Ov Tame is included in the word tzipor, because the pasuk is saying that David was turning to his enemies who were telling him that he has to run from place to place like a tzipor nodedes, like a tzipor that jumps around from place to place. And an Ov Tameh also jumps around from place to place. A non-kosher bird also does. So why don't you learn from that pasuk? So the Rishonim Amitari, there's no way David was comparing himself to a non-kosher bird. So he must have only been referring to kosher birds, that I should jump around from place to place like a kosher bird. I know, difficult to understand, because he was saying how his enemies were viewing him, that his enemies were telling him he should jump around from place to place. Sounds like his enemies would refer to him as a non-kosher bird. Also, another pasuk, Tosos mentions, pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Dalit, pasuk Yud Zayin, asher sham tziparim mikanenu chasidim baroshim besa. That's also talking about an Ov Tamei, because also the Tameim are also darkam lekanen be'etzim, use wood to make nests. It's not only be'etzim, it's not only an Ov Tar that does that. So he says that no, in that pasuk, the word chasida includes all tziparim tameim, all of tamei. Tzipor is reserved for oftar. Whatever it is, every time there's a pasuk that says like this, the Rishonim are bothered, why don't we have the kasha? Okay, raya number 4, tashema. Va'ata ben adam emor l'tzipor kol kanaf. So again, my love kedakshinan, the kasha is the same, lo kedashaninan, the teretz is the same. Tzipor is not a reference to both the kosher and the non-kosher, it's only a reference to the kosher. Kanaf is a reference to the non-kosher and the grasshoppers. Tashmai, Raya number 5. Uba anpoi, uba anfoe yiduran tzipore shemaya. So don't you see that Tzipori Shemai is a reference even to Ofen Tamein? Because we're talking about birds that gather together in trees. So it sounds like all birds gather together in trees, even non-kosher birds. Says the Gemara, Tzipori Shemai ikru, Tzipori Stam lo ikru. Very similar to our Derech Shemayim word from yesterday. That Tzipori Shemai could be a reference to non-kosher birds. But just plain Tzipor is always a reference to only kosher birds. Tashema Raya number 6. Kol Tzipor Tahora. So why would it have to add the descriptive term tahora if tzipor by definition always means tahora? Mechlal dika tameya, that implies that there's such a thing as a tzipor that's tameya. So says Gemara, no, you read it wrong. Lo, mechlal dika asura. It implies that there's such a thing as an usher bird, not a bird that's not kosher. So Maihi, what kind of Israel are we talking about? See, trefa behediksiv. If you're talking about a trefa bird, so that says beferish in the pasuk, meaning we're talking about birds that you're allowed to eat. It's dvar mudal, kol tzipor tahora tochelu. Right? So what kind of Israel are we talking about? If it's trefa, it says beferish in the pasuk. Vi b'shchuta d'mitzora, and if you're telling me that it's the shechted bird of a mitzora's karban, mi seifa d'kranafka. We also have that, we learn that from the seifa of the pasuk. V'zeh asher lo tochlu mehem. Pasuk says, meaning it's not really safe for the pasuk, it's the next pasuk. V'zer asher lo tochlu mehem, ha-nesher v'ha-peres v'ha-azniya. So we learn, l'rabos shchutas mitzora. That comes to teach us a shechted mitzora bird. So says Gemara, li'olim b'shchutu de mitzora, v'lavra lav ba'aseya b'los ha-aseya. Enochinami, when the pasuk says, kol tzipar tahora tochelu, it's coming to include a kosher shechted bird from a mitzora's carbon. We already know that it's aser. Yeah, but we want it to be both an aseh and a los aseh. L'may naf kamina, whether something is just a los aseh or it's an aseh and a los aseh. So first of all, there doesn't have to necessarily be a naf kamina. Sometimes you have a concept of lav or lav b'shnei lavin, that the Torah will tell me something twice just because the Torah wants to make it more severe by making it multiple isurim. Lav or lav b'shnei lavin. So that's just in general, you have such a concept. Rav Yosef Engel has a whole discussion about quantity and quality in mitzvos. So when you have a los aseh, it's as chamer as it's going to be. When you have a double los aseh, it's more chamer. Well, maybe the increased quantity of isurim actually does make it more chamer. But over here, it's even more fundamental. There actually is a nafkamina, whether something is just a los aseh or it's an aseh and a los aseh. Because we have a klal in halacha that aseh docha los aseh. A mitzvah aseh is docha mitzvah los aseh. Why exactly that should be so? There's a famous Ramban that explains that mitzvah aseh are done mitoch ahava, mitzvah los aseh are done mitoch yira. Ahava trumps Yira, and that's why Aseh is Docha Los Aseh, because Ahava is the higher level than Yira, as opposed to in the Migdash. In the Migdash, there's an emphasis on Yira specifically, because the Pasuk says, that's Mikdashai Tira'u. So that's why we have a rule, the Ramban says, Ein Aseh Docha Los Aseh Shebemigdash. In the Migdash, Aseh is not Docha Los Aseh. But generally speaking, Aseh is Docha Los Aseh. That's why you're allowed to wear shatness in your tzitzis, right? Shatness in Bigdei Kuhuna. The Aseh is Docha. You could do Mila on a makom that has Tzara'as. You could do Bris Mila cut off the Tzara'as, because Aseh is Docha Los Aseh. But what if it's a Los Aseh Vaseh? So the rule is, Ein Aseh Docha Los Aseh Vaseh. A mitzvah saseh cannot be docha, a combination of a lo saseh vaseh. So that's the nafkamina, whether something is just a lo saseh or is lo saseh vaseh. If it's just a lo saseh, it would be pushed away by a mitzvah saseh. Now that it's lo saseh vaseh, it's no longer pushed away by a mitzvah saseh. That's the question that Minchas Chinuch raises. When we say, ein aseh docha lo saseh vaseh, so what's the mechanics of that? Is it that when something is both a lo saseh vaseh, it's a reflection of its relative strength, and therefore the aseh, it's impervious to the effect of a mitzvah saseh? Or do we say, no, the mitzvah saseh is docha the lo saseh shabo. The mitzvah saseh knocks out the lo saseh in this iser. And what's left, now that the mitzvah saseh has cancelled with the lo saseh shabo, what's left is still an iser aseh. So that's why it's still going to be aser. But only aser has an iser aseh. Nafkamina would be, what if you do the iser, do you get malchus? Did you violate a lo saseh ve'aseh? Meaning, if you allowed your aseh to be docha lo saseh ve'aseh, did you violate a lo saseh ve'aseh? Or did you only violate an aseh, because the aseh was cancelled out, the lo saseh? That would be enough kamina. Okay, nice lamed shatayra. But anyway, so the Gemara says that we're talking about shchutu de mitzora, and the reason the pasuk tells us that kol tzipar tahora, the reason it says tahora is to teach me that if you had a shiluach, a shchuta of a mitzora, it would be aser to eat even ba'aseh. So, frankly, why don't you just say it's talking about a treifa and telling me that you violate both the los haseh vaseh instead of telling me it's talking about shchut of mitzora and you violate the los haseh vaseh? One of the yidgim in the shatar and dresh ben is davar alam minyano, and we happen to be speaking about inyanim of a shchuta. So, if we're talking about inyanim of a shchuta, it's most likely that we're coming to apply an iser to a bird that's shchuta. So that's why it can't be a treifa. Tashma Al-Gemara brings a seventh raya now. Shtei tziparim chayos. So my chayos. Lav shechayos beficha. Doesn't chayos mean kosher? That it's that the tziparim are being described as kosher birds? Mechlal di'ika lav shechayos beficha. Lo. That implies that there are some that aren't. There's such a thing as a tzipar that's not kosher. That's not a tahora. So I thought we said that tzipar always means tahora. Why would you need the descriptive term chayos? So says Gemara, no, chayos doesn't mean kosher. My chayos, shechayin rashi evarim shalahen. Chayos means it's not mechusar ever. It's not missing a limb. That's what chayos means. I'm not talking about whether it's a kosher species or not. Raya number 8. Tashima mi seifa. Tahoros, mechlal di'ika tameos. pasuk says taharos, that implies again that there's such a thing as a tzipar that is tamei, that's not kosher. So says Gemara, lo mechal dika treifos, doesn't mean that there are non kosher species. It means that there's such a thing as treifos. So says Gemara, treifos michayos nafka. What do you mean? We already learned that treifos are no good from chayos. So what are you teaching me? So honey, chalamandi amar treifa chaya. So I understand very well if you're going to say treifa chaya that a treifa can live. So chayos can't be coming to exclude treifos because the two terms are not mutually exclusive. If you'll treifa chaya, almandi amar treifa ain't a chaya ma'ikul meimer. But if you'll the treifa can't live, then what are you going to say? If chayos already exclude treifos, what does taharos exclude? Whether treifa chaya or treifa ain't a chaya, anyway, we learn it out from Tanu Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanu Dvei Rabbi Shmuel never makshir mechaper b'fnim and never makshir mechaper b'chutz. There are two distinct types of karbanos that are done inside the azara and two distinct types of karbanos done outside. So the two distinct types of karbanos that are done b'fnim are those that are makshir and those that are mechaper. Makshir means it comes to serve some other purpose, not just to be mechaper for the bialim, but it actually it's matir something else. That when you bring the karban, now something else becomes allowed. So the bialim was not allowed to eat kachim, yoledes or zavim or something like that. They weren't allowed to eat kachim. Now they bring this karban, it's matter them to eat kachim. So you have bifnim, the chatos and ashamos are mechaper, and you have bifnim the ashamitzor, the chatos mechusre kapara of zavim and yoledos and yoldos are machshir, and you also have bechutz. A machshir bechutz is the tziporim mitzora that are come to be metaher the mitzora, and also you have things that are mechaper b'chutz, like the sira mishtaleach. So we compare the two. Ma machshir mechaper b'fnim asabo machshir ki mechaper. Just like b'fnim, we make the machshir like the mechaper. Af machshir mechaper b'chutz asabo machshir ki mechaper. So too b'chutz, we make the machshir ki mechaper. So the point is that we already learned from here that a treifa is excluded, because just like a mechaper can't be a treifa, the machshir also can't be a treifa. So we already know to exclude treifa. So what's tahoros coming to teach me? It must be to exclude tameos. So why do I need it to exclude tameos? I mean, it must be telling me that you're not allowed to use a tamei bird, a non-kosher bird, for the tzipore mitzora. But what are you talking about? We already know that. So because from the word tzipor, isn't tzipor alone enough to teach us that? That's the whole point of our kasha over here, that the word tzipor alone by definition means kosher. What else could the pasuk be teaching me about the two birds that you take of a mitzora, if not when it uses the term tahoros, if not that it needs to be kosher? So the Gemara is going to say four other suggestions of what it might be teaching me. Says the Gemara, Ella Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lemu'utei Tzipori Irani Dachas. Maybe it's coming to tell me that you're not allowed to use Irani Dachas birds from an Irani Dachas, for the Mitzorah Tara process. Now keep in mind, this is very important, the Mitzorah Tara process, it says in Chumash, Vayikra Perek Yudal, right at the beginning, that they take the two birds, one of them they shecht, and they use its blood for the whole procedure. The other one, ultimately, after doing a few things with it, they're Mishaleach, they send away. That's part of it. Shiluach is not only the Nishiluach HaKan, you have it also by the Tzipori Mitzorah. Two birds, one of them is going to be Shchuta, one of them is going to be a Mishulachas. So this pasuk that tells me about a Tzipor Tahora is telling me that something about one of those birds. We're not sure what it's teaching me, and we're not sure about which bird. So we're going to have four suggestions of what it's teaching me. And depending what it's teaching me, it might apply to different to one bird or the other. So Elam Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, first suggestion. Lemu'ute tzipori yirnidachas, coming to exclude tzipor v'nir nidachas. So lemai, which bird can't be from v'nir nidachas? Ilishiluach, if it's coming to tell me that you can't have a bird from v'nir nidachas, that you're mishalayach, well, lo amra Torah shalayach l'takala. That's obvious, because why would the Torah ever allow you to be mishalayach something that's not kosher, that's usher for people to have? Because what's going to happen? You're going to be mishalayach, and someone else is going to find it, they're going to shecht it, they're going to eat it. That's a terrible thing if you're sending out a bird that's from an ir nidachas, and risking that people are going to find it and eat it. So elo l'shchita, must be that we're talking about the bird that's being shechted, that it can't be from an ir nidachas. Fine, that's one possibility. Rava Amar, second possibility, what can't be used by a mitzora that we're learning from the word tahora? Again, the word tahora we want to say can't just mean kosher, because the word tzipor already means kosher. So what can't be used by a mitzora that we learn from the word tahora? Rava Amar, lemutei shelo lezavig la'acheres kodim shiluchah. It means, let's say you had two Mitzorah birds, one of them you shechted, the other one you were about to be Mishalech, and then another Mitzorah came and said, I need my Karbonos to be done. So it's coming to teach you, don't take the bird that you were about to be Mishalech, pair it up with another bird and do the whole process again, you know, double dipping on the same bird, using the same bird twice. So it says, Marlamai, Ilishchita, if we're saying that you're not allowed to take the bird that you were about to send and now use it as the Shchuta for the second Mitzorah, Habayi Shiluach. Of course you can't use it as a Shchuta for the second Mitzorah. You need to send it away. You need to be Mishaleach. Ella l'shiluach. It must be saying that you're not allowed to use it even for shiluach of the second mitzvah. You're not allowed to use the same bird twice. Says Gemara, possibility number three. Rav Papa Amar l'tziporim shehichlifan ba'avodah zara. They were talking about tziporim that were switched for avodah zara, that were bartered for avodah zara. Tichsiv v'yisach cherim kamohu, because the pasuk says that anything that's switched for avodah zara becomes just like the avodah zara. Kol ma'ashata mahayah heimenu kamohu. Anything that you have from it is like it. So Lamai, what are we talking about? What can't you use a bird that was bartered for an avodah zara for? Ili shiluach, if it's about shiluach, lo matar shaleach l'takala. Obviously, you can't use that for shiluach because it's aser, and you can't send something that's aser out into the world. Ella l'shchita, must be telling me that you're not even allowed to use it for the shchuta bird of the mitzvah. Possibility number four. Ravina Amar. It's telling me that for a mitzvah you're not allowed to use a murderous bird, a bird that has killed a human being. Seichidami, what's the case? Either gamar dina, if already had a gamar din bar katalu, well, it has to be killed. Obviously, you're not allowed to use it for the shiluach, for the mitzvah. El kodum gamar dina, must be that we're talking about before the gamar din. So lemai, what halach are we talking about before the gamar din? What bird do you want to use it for? Which part of the mitzvah process? Il the shiluach by lasu lebedina v'kumei bart ubiata rami kirbecha. If it's about that you're not allowed to use a murderous bird for the mitzvah bird that you're going to send away, well, obviously you can't send it away. You have a mitzvah d'oraisu, b'yarta rami kirbecha, to eradicate the evil from your midst and get rid of this bird. So you can't just send it away. It's going to have to die. Elo the shchita. No, the chiddush is you can't even use it for shchita, where it's going to die anyway. So you can't use it for that purpose. Now, what emerges from this Gemara with these last four suggestions, in total, the Gemara actually had six Mi'utim to passel different types of birds for Tziporim Mitzora. First, we had Mechusar Ever, right? You need Chayin Rashi Evarim Shela, that it can't be Mechusar Ever, can't be missing an Ever. Second, Trefa. A Trefa bird can't be used in Mitzora. Tziporim Yarni Dachas, pairing it up, pairing a single bird up with two Mitzorayim. Chiluf Avodah Zara, and Ov Shaharagas HaNefesh. Right, in the Pashas of the Sugya is that Mechusar Ever we learn from Chayos, we learn from the word Chayos. Trefa we learn to exclude from the Tana Debei Rabbi Ishmael, and all of the other Miutim seems to be a Machlokas, because each one says that we learn that, you know, Miutim 3 through 6, the last four that we just did, from the word Tahora. So obviously they can't all be from the word Tahora, so that's going to be obviously Machlokas, where we actually learn them from. That's what seems to be the Pashtos, how to read the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara Vayter. Ov Tamei Rovetz Al Beitzei Ov Tahar. The Mishnah had said at the beginning of the Perek that if you have an Ov Tamei, a non-kosher bird, that's on top of eggs of a kosher bird, or a Rovetz Al Beitzei Ov Tamei, either direction, it's patur min shaleach. There's no mitzvah shiluach hakan. Right? That's the halacha. So says the Gemara, Bishlama of tamei rovetz al beitzei tahar. I understand very well if you have a non-kosher bird that's being rovetz on kosher eggs, being on tzipor v'leka. You need tzipor, and it's not a tzipor, because tzipor, like we just went to great lengths to prove, always means only a kosher bird. So it's not a tzipor. So that's why I understand that it's not going to be chayv in shaleach hakan. But if you have a kosher bird that's rovets on top of beitzim that are not kosher, why shouldn't there be a mitzvah? The tzipor is a din in the aim, it's a din in the mother. So the mother's a tzipor, so why is there no mitzvah of shiluach hakan? So answers Gemara, Gedam Rav Kahana, tikach lecha v'lo leklavecha. No, the vart is that you're supposed to then take the eggs for yourself. It's only if you could take the eggs for yourself, but if you have to take the eggs and then give them to your dog because they're not kosher, then there will be no mitzvah shiluach hakan. The strong implication of this Gemara, even though it's a major machlokes rishonim, strong implication of this Gemara is that the mitzvah shiluach hakan is only when you're interested in the eggs, when you actually want to take the eggs for yourself. That it's tikach lecha, if you're going to take it leklavech, if it's not going to be for yourself, it's going to be for your dogs, there is no mitzvah. So achanami tikach lecha v'lo leklavech. Same over here, just like Rav Kahana said in a different context, so we apply to this context that if the eggs aren't kosher, we say there will be no mitzvah. So v'hecha idmar de Rav Kahana, what was the original context that Rav Kahana taught that chiddush? Ahaditanya, he taught that chiddush relating to the following braisa. Im trefa, chayev bishiluach. If the mother is a trefa, it's chayev bishiluach. It's aim. Aim trefa, chayev bishiluach. If the mother bird is a trefa, it's still chayev bishiluach. Efrochim trefos, pater mishiluach. If the chicks are trefos, they're pater from shiluach. Then you don't have to send away the mother. Minani mili, how do we know this? So I'm Rav Kahana, that's where Rav Kahana taught. That you take it for yourself, not your klavim. So it wasn't about a non-kosher species of eggs that Rav Kahana originally taught this din by. It was about a trefa eggs. It was about eggs that became trefas from a kosher species. And then we make a hekish between the aim trefa and the chicks. We change on the side. Why don't we make a hekish between the aim and the chicks? That just like we said, if the chicks are trefa, there's no mitzvah shiluach. Why don't we say that there's a hekish between the mother and the babies? That if the mother's a trefa, even if the babies are not trefos, it should also be part of from shiluach. Why do we say that the aim trefa is chayiv bishiluach? Says Gemara, im kain tzipor lemutei of tamei lamali. If that were the case, why would I need tzipor to exclude an of tamei from the mitzvah of shiluach? Because if you already know that the chicks that are tamei are pata from shiluach, I wouldn't need tzipor to tell me that the mother's pata from shiluach. I would just learn it out from a hekish between the chicks and the mother. Vatanya im aim efrochin trefa chayiv bishiluach. It seems to be saying as follows, that the mother of the Afrochim, when the Afrochim are trefos, you are chayev to do shiluach. So says the Gemara, wait a second, isn't that against what we just said? We just said that if the chicks are trefos, you don't have to do shiluach. Now we're saying that if you have an aim of Afrochim that are trefos, you have to do shiluach. Sounds like even though the mother's not a trefa, that when the mother's not a trefa, the efrochim are trefos, you do have to do shiluach. So Amar Abaye Hachikamer, efroach she'iman trefa chayav bishiluach. So no, we're misunderstanding the braisa. Braisa is not talking about a regular aim and trefa efrochim. We're talking about regular efrochim and a trefa aim. That's what we're saying, that it's chayav bishiluach. Fine, and that's exactly the din that Rav Kahana said before. Fine. Boy Rav Hoshia. Now we just have a bunch of random shilos in relation to the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. So Rav Hoshia asked the following shaila: Hoshit yado lekan v'shachat miyut siman mahu. What if you stick your hand into the nest underneath the bird and you shecht one of the babies partially? You shecht miyut simanim. So what's the din? Do you now have to send away the mother? Do we say, well, if you would stop right here, you would stop the shechita right at this point, you just rendered the animal a trefa, and therefore, since it's a trefa right now, you don't have to send away the mother? Or do you say, well, it's very easy if you just finish the shechita, then the animal won't be a trefa, the animal will be perfectly kosher, and then therefore you should be chayv in shiluach, because it's lecha. So the Gemara is not sure at this stage, when you're 40% of the way through the shechita, so what's the din? So the Gemara says, teku, we have no idea what the din is. Now the gears of the tour, the Ran and the Rambam, seems to be shachat miktsa simaneha b'lashon nekeva. Seems to be we're talking about yishacht miktsa simanim of the aim, not of the child. They had a different girsa in our Gemara. It's also interesting. The Rush leaves out this ibaya. He leaves out this shaila. So Madani Yom Tov says, yeah, because it never happens. I mean, what kind of shaila is this? That if you're shechting, you're halfway through the shechita of the babies underneath. You stick the knife underneath. You're going to send away the mother. So there's no point in the Rush quoting it. And he says that's why the Rift doesn't mention all of the ibayos we're about to say in our sugya. But the Rambam, the Tor, do mention every single one of them, even though they're not shchiach. And in all of these ibayos that we leave b'teku, the Rambam paskins the halacha that we should go l'chumra, you should be chayiv in shiluach ha'im, but if you don't do it, you don't get malchus for it. Because it's a suffix, so you're not going to give malchus me suffix. Suffix daraisa l'chumra, so you chayiv to be mishaleach, but you can't give someone a malchus for violating a din suffix. Anyway, by Rabbi Yirmiyah. So no, another shayla. A matlis mau shetachlitz. Is it a chatzita? The mother has to be hovering right over the birds. What if there's a cloth over the babies? So is that a chatzita that the mother's not considered hovering? There's no mitzvah anymore. Krafay mau sheyichotzu. What if you have wings of other birds in between the mother and the babies? Is that a chatzita? Beitz muzaros mahu. What if you have eggs that are messed up? That there's no way a chick is going to come from those eggs. So what's the din there? Shnei sidrei beitzim zuel gavzu mahu. What if you have two layers of eggs, and you're only interested in the bottom layer of eggs? You don't want the top layer. So is there a mitzvah shiluach hakan? Because should you say the top layer is a chatzitza? The way Rashi understands it seems again very clear. Why should the top layer be chatzitza? Shouldn't you be chayv shiluach hakan just for the top layer itself? It's hovering over the top layer. So Rashi seems very clear that yeah, but the top layer is not what you want, and there's no mitzvah shiluach hakan if you don't want the eggs. So it would only be Mitzvah Shulach Khan, mitam the bottom layer, if that's all that you want. So Mitzvah Shulach Khan, again, the implication of Rashi at least, is only if you want the eggs. Other Rishonim strongly disagree, and they say that you have to, they even read it into Rashi differently. Zachar al gabe beitzum, and kev al gabe zachar mahu. What if a male bird is flying over the eggs, and a female is on top of the zachar? So is the zachar a chatzitza? Teku, all these shaylas are teku. By Rabbi Zeri, Yona al beitzei chatzil mahu. What if you have one type of bird hovering over beitzim of a different type of bird? Or tasil beitzei yona mahu, or vice versa. Amar Abai, tashma, of tamei rovetz al beitzei of tahar, v'tahar rovetz al beitzei of tamei pater, mishiluach. If you have a non-kosher bird over kosher eggs, or vice versa, you're pater, but the implication is v'tahar chayiv, that if both are kosher species, even if they're not the same, sounds like you're going to be chayiv. So says Gemara, no, Dilma Bekora, maybe that's only by one type of bird who has a habit of always hovering over and protecting other types of birds' eggs. Maybe that's where you're going to be chayv, but regular two different species of kosher birds, you would not be chayv. Kora Zachar. What about if you have this species, this Kora species that likes to hover and protect other types of eggs, but it's a male? So is that going to be chayv in shiluach or not? So Rabbi Elazar mechayv v'cham poter. Rabbi Elazar says chayv v'cham say poter. That's what the Mishnah said. So I'm Rabbi Avohu, my time is Rabbi Elazar. Why does Rabbi Elazar think it's chayv? It's a male. So Asya degira degira. He has a gzera shav. It says degira degira. Ksivach akori degar v'lo yalad. Uksivasam ubaka v'dagra b'tzela. So he learns out that it's got to be applying even to a male. I'm Rabbi Elazar machlokas b'kori zachar. The whole machlokas in our Mishnah though is only if it's a male bird. Avol b'kori nekeva divrakol chayv. But if it's a female kori, even though it's not the same type of bird as the eggs that it's protecting, everyone would agree that you're chayiv. So pshita kori zachar tiran. Obviously, the machlokas is only by a male kora, because that's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said we're talking about a male one. So what's the chiddush? Now, mal detem rabbanan afilu kora nekeva patri. I might have thought that the rabbanan even exempt when it's a kora nekeva, when it's a female kora bird. Vaduktani zachar l'diachal kochad Rabbi Elazar. The only reason it mentions zachar is to tell you how serious Rabbi Eliezer is about his shita, that you're going to be chayiv even if it's a zachar. It's coming to teach me the chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer, that you're going to be chayiv even if it's a zachar. That's what I would have thought. Kamash Malan, therefore it tells me otherwise. Why would I have had such a havamina? The Achronim point out, generally speaking, we have a concept of koch de'atera adif. If you're going to tell me the chiddush of one side and the other side, you always want to emphasize the chiddush of the one that's more mekel. So koch de'atera adif, something the Achronim explained, is not a steadfast rule. It's not that we always want to teach the chiddush of the one that's mekel over the chiddush of the one that's machmir. It's that we always want to teach the bigger chiddush. Sometimes to be machmir is a bigger chiddush than to be mekel. Like in this case, to say that a male bird of a different species protecting the eggs is going to be chayiv in shiluach hakein, that is a very big chiddush. So since that's a very big chiddush, that's why we'd want to emphasize that chiddush. Ikad amri amr blazar machlokas bekara zachar, that the whole machlok is only by a male kara avol bezachar di alma. But when it comes to a regular male, that's what we're contrasting it with, a regular male bird of some other species, the divrei kol pater, then everyone's going to agree that you're pater from shulach. Pshita, kora zachar tanan, obviously, it's only about a male kora, because it says kora. It doesn't say male birds in general. So no, ma'al detem Rav Lazar afilu zachar bi'al m'chayv. I might have thought Rav Lazar holds all male birds, you'd be chayv in shulach hakan. V'aydik tani kora zachar l'diach koch and rabbanan. And the reason it gives the example of kora is telling me that even though it's a kora where it's the derech to protect the eggs, still the Rabbanan are going to say you're pater, so it's coming to emphasize the chiddush of the Rabbanan, the koach te'atera of the Rabbanan. Chamashmalan, therefore comes tell me that no, the machlokas is only by Kara Zachar. By any other Zachar, Rabbi Elazar would still agree, would then agree that you're potter from Shiluach. Any other male bird, the male can't be the mother that's hovering over its young. Any male bird is, other than the Kara, even Rabbi Elazar would agree, is potter from Shiluach. Tani Nami Hachi, Zachar Diyama Potter. We have a Bryce that says exactly this way, because it says any Zachar in general is potter. Kara, but if you have this special species, Reb Lezer mechayev v'chom potter. And then Reb Lezer says you're going to be chayev, but the Chachamim say that you're going to be potter when you have this this special unique species. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow. It's okay that we're falling a little behind, because on Tuesday we only have a half numb. So try to pace ourselves.